Jesus, we love you. Ask you to be the teacher. Lord, this is like my favorite subject, and because it's all about you. And it's my favorite subject, and I'm so looking forward to talking on this. And I'm just asking that you would work in our hearts so that we would hear it the way you want us to hear it. Lord, we want to see other people through your eyes. Help us to see them, each person, as an eternal spirit that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Help us to see the need in other people's lives. Jesus, we want to see people through your eyes, have your heart for them. And God, I'm just so thankful for what you have shown. I'm looking forward to what you're going to open up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11, please, and verse 30. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit, what we're going to talk about is witnessing, soul winning, witnessing, bringing people to Jesus. Okay? Verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls, God says, is wise. The fruit, what we produce in our life, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Glenn, God brought me in your life and brought you to Jesus through me. Was there life produced in your life? Was there life produced in you? Okay. What I'm saying is, life, it began to produce a tree of life. Steve, before you met Jesus, was there a tree of life? No. After you met Jesus, yep, little baby Christian seed, begin to grow a little Christian bush, become a Christian tree, produce fruit. Okay. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Win is the opposite of lose. There are people that their souls are lost. Pay attention. The majority of people are lost. Are you hearing me? The majority of people that you see are on their way to hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? How long is hell? Does it just last till the next commercial? Or maybe it's a weekly series, and next week we get to change it. Folks, that's why we need to ask God. God, I want to see people through your eyes. There are people in this room, there are people I have met, that they thought they were going to heaven. I'm good. I go to church. I believe in God. I'm good. And they were lost. I want you to write down one little thing. Okay? I got it on here. Someone has to get lost before they can get saved. Someone has to get lost before they get saved. When I ask the question, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? It's not because hell's not my favorite subject. I know y'all think it is because I bring it up so much, but it's not my favorite subject. But guess what? If somebody doesn't believe in hell, they're never going to get saved. If somebody doesn't, in America, We want to do everything but be responsible. We want our way. It's all about me, what I think, what I feel, what I want. Don't want to be responsible. Don't call me what I am. Don't call a spade a spade. Let's call it they're a drunkard. They're an alcoholic. It's a disease. Who buys a disease? But you see, people want a soft soap. The devil wants the soft soap. God wants to call things the way they are. We got to deal with truth. For somebody to get saved, they have to want truth. I don't know if you remember me telling you this story. Maybe you've never heard it, but I've told it here. One day I was in Cass Corridor in Detroit. It's about a 9-square-block area. The police won't even go in there. And I went down there with a guy that's his area. That's his stomping grounds. That's where he goes to win people to Jesus. That's his church domain, okay? And he goes fishing in Cass Corridor. So he invited me to go one time. I thought, I'm not afraid of any place. Let's go. Dude, I had no idea that was where the devil lived. I walked into that place. You could feel the devil there. It was horrible. I was scared. The dude and I are walking. And I'm like hanging next to him. Dude, I'm looking around. You could feel the devil there like big time. Okay? So we're walking. And over here, there's this big old empty parking lot that, you know, all the grass growing up and all that stuff, you know. This empty lot. And, I mean, the place is dilapidated. It's terrible. And I look over there and I see a guy. And I said, hi. That's all I said was, hi. And the dude starts cussing me out. Get away from me, Jesus freak. I don't want nothing to do with you. I mean, I hadn't even said anything about Jesus. I just said hi. Remind me when I first came up to Michigan. We went to get something at the Greyhound bus station that my folks sent me. We're walking downtown Pontiac, and I'm going to everybody as Sue and I walk along. Hi, hi, how are you? How are you? My wife grabs my arm, throws it at my side, and says, don't do that. And I said, what? She says, we don't say hi here. Somebody will stick you or rob you. And I'm like, excuse me? All I did was say hi. She said, we don't do that up here. I'm like, you have got to be kidding. Down south, you drive down the road, you just wave at everybody. Hi, hi, hi. You know? So anyway, this guy, get away from me, Jesus freak. He's about from here to that sign away. He's screaming at me. Get away from me. All I said was hi. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? So as the guy got close, I said to him, sir, all I want to do is tell you about Jesus. Talk to you about Jesus. He said, I don't want to hear about it. I said, Lord, what do I say? Now, the guy's screaming, but God, I was on a beeline for this dude. Can you imagine that, Glenn?
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm on my way to this guy, and I'm like, Lord, what do I say to him? And I walked up to hand him a tract. Let's say this is a tract that tells about Jesus. And I walked up. And I tried to shake his hand. He wouldn't shake my hand. He wouldn't touch me. Wouldn't let me touch him. I'm like, oh my word. I said, Lord, what do I do? So I said, I just want to give you a tract that'll tell you about Jesus and how he loves you. He says, I don't want that. Now listen to this. Listen, this is on the test. Okay. I said, Lord, what do I say to this guy? And I said, sir, I said, obviously, you're hurt, and people have hurt you, and you're afraid of people, and you don't want to hear about God. That's fine, but I want you to know that he loves you so much, he had me drive about 50 miles to come here just to talk to you. And I said, and you may not want to read this, but this will tell you about how you could know Jesus Christ personally. And I said, sir, there's going to come a time in your life where you're not going to want to live, and you're going to think about killing yourself. Now, sir, what I would like you to do is to take this. You don't have to read it. Put it on your dresser. put it in your dresser. But when you think of killing yourself, when you're tired and there's nobody around and nobody cares for you and you don't even know why you're on this planet, I said, when you pick this up, Jesus Christ loves you so much, he'll be waiting right there on your dresser to talk to you. Because he loves you that much. And the man reached out and took it, stuck it in his pocket. Now, I couldn't witness to him. But I asked God, God, what does he need to hear? And what God basically said was, he needs to know that I love him. He can't trust people because he's been hurt too many times. He's afraid of what people are going to do to him. But you let him know that I love him and that I will wait until he's ready for me to talk to him. He that winneth souls is wise. God is willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 John 5:12, please. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Everybody can witness. You can't witness to the wrong person. Everybody needs Jesus. Do you hear me? Amen. Everybody needs Jesus. You can't witness to the wrong person. A young man came to my door yesterday. Sue says, I can't see who it is. I said, I can. It's another one. Somebody, we're right by Burlingame. I said, it's somebody trying to come and sell us something. She said, why don't you take care of it? So I walked over there. He probably knew Zach Douse because he said, I play baseball on Wyoming Park or whatever it was, Wyoming High School. And I play baseball and we're going on a trip and I'm doing a fundraiser thing or whatever. And I just looked at him and went, he said, not interested. And I go, no. And I didn't. I normally talk to people and whatever. But here's what I'm saying. You can't witness to the wrong person. All you got to do, though, is see, he was coming and bringing a canned little speech. People don't care about your can. You can sit on your can. They don't care about your canned speech. They care about themselves. And if you care about them, you want to introduce them to Jesus, you let them know that you care about them. Tell me if this makes sense. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. Does that make sense? People don't care what you know until they know that you care. God, please help me to see others through your eyes. Help me to see them as an eternal soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Do you want that? Do you want to see that? Do you want to see people through God's eyes? I'm glad one does. Is there any two? Great. Okay, good. We've got three. Oh, four maybe. Okay, four, five? Okay, good. I just want to make sure because each week I think we're going to get a few more. Okay? All right. Here we go. Are you in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12? Have you ever asked anybody, if you died, would you go to heaven? Have you ever asked anybody that question? Have you? Two, three, four, five? Have you ever asked? Okay. And don't most people tell you, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven? Don't most people tell you that? I mean, there's those, I've had those that'll tell me, oh no, I'm going to hell. I'm gonna go party with my friends. I had a guy tell me that, and the very next day when we came back for Bible study, after we read the Bible to him, got up and started to leave, Sue and I, he fell on his knees and he yelled out, please don't leave me in hell. Please come back and show me how I can know Jesus. I turned around and my mouth fell open. I had never had anybody just fall on their knees and yell out. But the day before, he's telling me about, I'm going to hell. I'm not afraid of it. I'm going to party with my friends because we're all going there. And the next day, after spending time in the Word of God, I got there. I wasn't expecting them to be there. When I ask people, can I come back and do a Bible study with them? They say yes. Most of them don't. Aren't there? So when I came back the next day and knocked on the door and he opened the door, I kind of was shocked. I wasn't even expecting. I didn't know what to do. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, Luke 16, 19 to 31. I'm not going to, but if you want to go there, but not now. That's the rich man and Lazarus. And it's a true story. Luke 16, 19 to 31. And to be honest, that day when I was reading it to him, four words jumped out at me. And they were the same word, torment. And every time I got to the word torment, God said, stop and talk about what that means. And by the time we were done, he and the other guy, his name was Hector. The other guy's name was Tomas. He was a truck driver. And both of them fell on their knees and yelled, please don't leave us in hell. And Sue and I, because we had finished a Bible study, got up and said, thank you for letting us come. Maybe we could come again. We got up, we were walking to the door, and all of a sudden they yell out, don't leave us in hell. We turn around and both of them are on their knees. Please come back. Tell us how to get to Jesus. Verse 12. Are you there, 1 John? He that hath the Son hath life. The word hath means already has. He that already has the Son already has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Got Jesus? When did you get Jesus? Tell me about it. It's got to be the best day of your life. Okay? So we started off with, he that wins souls is wise. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Got Jesus. He that hath Son hath life. He that hath not Son of God hath not life. Turn over to Mark 5, 19 and 20. Mark 5, 19 and 20. When we're done today, you are going to be able to witness to people. But we're going to do this, Mark 5, 19 and 20. But we're going to do this for several weeks. Okay? Mark 5, 19 and 20. Now, I want to give you the context of this passage. Jesus goes into a city, and there is a man that everybody in the town is afraid of, and the man lives in the graveyard. Have you ever gone to a graveyard late at night? You remember when you were a kid and we would do all that stupid stuff? I'm sorry, dumb stuff, you know what I'm talking about? Okay? And you go through the graveyard, and it's like, woo, and all that stuff, you know? This dude is living there, if you can call that living. And he's full of devils. And Jesus comes along, and this man, full of these devils, the devils move this man, and he runs up to Jesus and says, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of the Most High? What have we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? And Jesus said, hey, you bad spirits, come out of that dude. And they said, please don't send us where we deserve to go. And he said, okay. He said, you see those pigs over there? He says, go get in them. And there was 2,000 pigs. And when those demons went in those pigs, the pigs ran off the cliff and killed themselves in the water. And the man in Mark 5, 19 and 20, in verse 18, he said, he came to the ship where Jesus was, and he that had been possessed with the devil prayed or asked Jesus that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Jesus didn't allow him to do that, but said unto him, look what Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Has Jesus done anything for you? Has Jesus done anything for you? You say, oh, I don't know how to witness like Brother Harvey. I don't have the gift of gab like that guy. You don't have to. Has he done anything for you? That song, I don't know the whole words. He healed my body. He changed my mind. He saved me right on time. Something like that. I don't know. Okay. What's he done for you? What has he done for you? He gave me joy. He forgave me. He gave me hope. He put me in a family that cares about me. What did Jesus do for you? That's all you got to do is tell people. Witnessing is to tell people what he's done for you. I'm just going to give you this reference. I'm not asking you to turn there. Psalm 66:16. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Come and hear, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. That's all witnessing is telling people what Jesus did for you. It's that simple. Did he do anything for you? Tell others. I dare you this week. I dare you. Tell somebody what he did for you. I'm telling you, I'm addicted to it myself. When I first met Jesus, I was that drug dealer, and he saved my wretched soul. And I was like, wow, he's real. It's not just going to church, you know, like I'd been taught. It's like, he's real. I met him. It's like, I walked outside, the trees were different, the grass, it was like everything, because he made it. Before, it was just something out there. Now, it's like it was alive. Everything was different. I found myself loving people, but the day before, I didn't want nothing to do with them. And now, I'm like, loving them. But God came inside of me, and God is love, and he loves. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, so I just was like, I was like in love with people, and I'm like, wow, what is this? Now, you could just sit there and go, well, I'm just going to only talk when I get to church and only around those people because they won't hurt me, but the other ones do. But no. Just start telling people. Because guess what? They need hope like you need hope. They need help like you need help. They need Jesus, and most of them don't have Jesus. And even if they have Jesus, he's only in their mind. He's a historical figure. Maybe he's a mythical figure to them. It doesn't mean anything to them because they haven't met him. We want them to meet him. I've got at least 9-point outlines. It's going to take at least 9 weeks to go through this. But I don't know exactly how we're going to do it, but I'm going to give you the 9-point outline. I might type it up for you. I probably won't. Just because I'm honest. And if I do it, then you just take it, fold it up, and stick it in your back of your book. And I spend all this time, and you don't do nothing with it. So I'm going to give you this 9-point outline. And if you want to write it down, and then as we have different verses, you can put them under the right category. Witnessing. What does witnessing mean? Number 2, various folks' testimonies in the Bible. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses about people having a testimony or talking about what God did in their life. And they're varied. Number 3, pressed by God to speak or your spirit being moved to speak. Have you ever felt like you just had to tell somebody about God? You didn't know why, it just was like coming out of you. You ever had that happen to you? I just thought you'd let you know. I have! Okay. Number 4, winning souls. I'm going to give you verses about winning souls. Number 5, the Great Commission. Do you know that Jesus has given us a commission? He's given us, when he was getting ready to leave the planet 5 times, okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, he gave us a commission. I've got 8 messages, though, but he gave us a great, what's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to go and tell everybody about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Go and tell them about Jesus Christ crucified. Okay? So the Great Commission. Number 6, what are we going to tell them? The message The gospel. Jesus is God in the flesh. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Okay? Number six. Number seven. Salvation in one verse or passage. Like, for example, Romans 6:23. Or let's use the one you everybody knows, John 3:16. Somebody could get saved with just John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and spend eternity with the boogeyman, but have everlasting life with God forever in heaven. There's the gospel. It's all the truth that we're sinners. We're not going to heaven. Jesus is God, and he died on the cross for us to save us. It's all right there in one verse. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of verses that if you memorize some of these verses when you're talking to people, you only have to memorize one. You don't even have to memorize one. Get it tattooed on you. I mean, some of y'all like tattoos. Get them up, tattoo a verse on you. Put it on your hand or something. I'm only being facetious here. Judy. Okay, I don't like tattoos at all. But if you're gonna do one, do a Bible verse. I got a grandson, he's not walking with God, but his whole body, he's got all these tattoos, and a lot of them are Bible verses. And the dude's not even walking with God. We told him that thing's gonna break out on you, dude. God's gonna get loose through you. One of these days you're gonna give your life to him. Okay? Salvation one verse or passage. Point number eight, TJW versus JFW. TJW versus JFW. Do you know what that means? True Jehovah Witness versus Jehovah False Witness. We're a true witness for Jehovah, okay? Just thinking about being true witnesses, okay? And point number nine, various maxims or sayings like, we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the Spirit gives us the words. We don't have to come up. How about something else when you're witnessing to people? You never win an argument. Don't argue with people. And don't try to persuade them. But I think, and I feel like, and I believe, and Okay, I already gave you the verse. I want you to look at John 3:16. And I want you to memorize it this week if you haven't done that. You write down 2, 3, 4 words per line, and you memorize one line at a time. Can you do that? What does John chapter 3, verse 5, my favorite verse in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 3. God told me that was my life's verse. But John chapter 3, verse 5, what does that mean? The phrase in there, born of the Spirit. What does that mean? To be born of the Spirit. What does that mean? Write down everything you can think of about that. Write down everything you can think of what that means to be born of the Spirit. Anything that applies to that, write it down. Would you do that? For your sake, I'm asking you to do that, okay? You'll understand next week when you do it, you're going to get more than you think right now. You think you know stuff right now, but if you ask God, God, what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? And just sit down quiet and just say, God, what does that mean? He's going to start giving you ideas and as you meditate on it. Okay? You know, when we eat this food, somebody came in and brought this food, and then they cranked it up and have all this smell with a little fan over there blowing it my way. It's like I'm... Well, that's what you need to do with that verse this week. Okay? Soak it in. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? What does it mean? You're going to write it down. Jesus, you are so awesome. Jesus, your plan, the last words, the most important words, you're getting ready to leave the planet. And you gave us a commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Lord, I could see some of these yahoos this week out there witnessing to a dog because it's a living creature. I could see them getting their cat, witnessing to the cat and the bird. course, that bird might can talk and tell other people, "Hey, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you." Lord, we love you. Thank you that it can be fun at the same time. But Lord, help us to realize the seriousness of it, that every soul on the planet is going to spend eternity somewhere. And the majority, according to the word, are not on the way to heaven. Lord, we ask that you would make this alive in us. Help us to just meditate on you, hang out with you, and let you live your life through us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.